Well, good morning, and I just want to also echo what everyone's saying about our moms. We just want to say, moms, if you're out there, we just hope you have a great day, and I hope that you get a nap. Anybody hear me on that? Moms, you feel that? Moms, you deserve a nap, and so just say, everyone, go get ice cream or whatever. Just leave mama alone and let her take a nap. So what's interesting is we're in the middle of a series called Five Things That God Uses to Grow Your Faith. And one of the things that we're talking about, what God wants to grow in your life and in my life as believers in him, is he wants to grow confidence in him. He wants confidence in him to just grow, and that's what we're growing. When we talk about faith, it's not this little magical thing that needs to grow in your life. It's trust in God. It's this confidence in God. And when our confidence in God grows, so does the intimacy in our relationship with him. You want to grow closer to God? Grow the confidence. And so as we're looking at this idea that he grows confidence in us, we see and we've noticed that he grows confidence in him in five different ways. And last week we talked about practical teaching. We said that, actually Pastor John preached this. And he said that it's not just that you know the scriptures, but you need to be in environments where the scripture is being applied. That it's great that you know and know all the different verses and everything, but that's not enough. Unless you apply it, your life won't change. And that's when you apply the scriptures, that's when your faith begins to grow. That's when your confidence in God really begins to grow. And now today we're going to be talking about providential relationships. Now, I knew that this was Mother's Day coming on the calendar as I was preparing for the series and getting it all together. And I strategically put this sermon on Mother's Day. And it's because of this. I believe every mother has preached this message time and time again. In fact, you have heard this message probably from your mother way many more times than you've heard it from me. Is this idea that God uses people in your life to grow your faith. So be careful who you hang out with. How many of your mama taught you that? That's right. So we're teaching this again because we just want to echo what mama has already taught you. And it's true. Providential relationships. Now, one thing I want to kind of bring into it is you got to be careful who you hang around with. We understand that. But I want to bring in an aspect of the providential side to relationships. And maybe for some of you, this is kind of a new concept. But I believe, and time has tested this after being a pastor of 18 years. I've seen stories time and time again how people would tell me that they've had amazing key relationships in their life that really helped their faith grow. And they would almost say it like this, that it's as if God strategically placed these people in my path at critical times so I would make the right critical decisions, and it consequently a faith began to grow. They would say, it wasn't until I went to this Bible study, and it wasn't that what I learned in the Bible study, but it was the someone's in the Bible study that really grew my faith. Bible study was great, but the people really grew and helped challenge my faith. For some, it's like it was when I joined my neighbor at church, or when I saw how marriage was supposed to live out by, my next door neighbor or a friend of ours, and I saw how marriage was, or how you're supposed to live out in priority with business and your relationship with God, and how the two doesn't have to compete, but when you have your priorities right, they complement each other. And so time and time again, when we see baptisms, and we celebrate baptisms at the worship center, and when we see them on the screens, rarely do you hear them talk about amazing programs. They're always talking about amazing people. They don't thank the programs. They thank the people. I'd like to thank so-and-so. I'd like to thank my small group leader. I'd like to thank my friend that introduced Christ to me. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for them. It's almost as if God uses relationships to grow confidence in him through our life. Can I get an amen? Amen. So the question I want us to kind of think about is, has there been people in your life that encouraged your faith? Maybe think back and just your faith journey of where you are today in your relationship with God and your followingship of Jesus. Where has there been people that encouraged you different times in your life, maybe critical junctures in your life that were really instrumental in helping your faith grow. Has there been people in your life that encouraged your faith? Now, for me, there are three people that come to mind. There's a lot of people that have influenced me, but there's three people specifically I think God placed like strategically in my life at critical times. And these are outside my family. So if you're sitting there going, well, man, if you knew my family, but God uses people even outside the family to grow your faith. Now, one of these individuals, I was in elementary school, and that fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth grade time period there, elementary school and junior high, very critical time in my life. And there was an individual that began to mentor me. And this individual was a very busy individual. He was a businessman. He sold insurance. And yet he spent Wednesday nights in a boys' mentorship program that we still have in our church today. And he would spend time just loving these kids and pouring into these boys. And let me tell you, you are a special man if you go into a room full of smelly boys. I mean, it's like kids at that age just don't understand deodorant. I mean, they don't get it yet, you know? I mean, and I know the parents are trying, but they're like, I don't understand. They just smell all the time. I get it. The struggle is real, you know? But yet this man, he was a critical point in my life, and his name's Bart Garrison. And in fact, he was in service last night, and we kind of had a moment, and I lost my composure just a little bit, but it was just a beautiful thing that the fact that he invested some of his time. He didn't have a whole lot to give, but he invested his time, and God used that relationship to instill principled leadership into my life. And I am forever grateful that God used him in such a powerful way. The second individual that came into my world, it really, even though he only lived in Alamogordo for 2 years, he only really had a mentorship relationship with me for about 6 months. So sometimes this is not a couple of years venture. Sometimes God uses you for a very short time. And this individual, I was starting to want to develop the skill of preaching, and I was, you know, a sophomore in high school, and so he gave me opportunities to preach. He would critique me, and we would have meetings at Daylight Donuts, talking about preaching. It doesn't get better than that. Donuts and preaching, just sitting around and coffee. I mean, that was amazing time. He had me at Donuts, you know, and so we would sit there and talk about. And today, I still benefit from those critical 6 months in which he poured into my life. And then he went on to do amazing things. He went on to be state senator in Colorado, and then like the minority leader. Just an amazing man. But I got 6 months where he poured into my life. And it was almost as if God providentially placed him in my life. The third and last individual, This man was such a critical, but I was a junior in high school, and there was a lot of chaos in my world at that point. There's a lot of things going on internally in my life. I was struggling with certain things, and this man was a godly man, and he was so much more than a basketball coach. He was my basketball coach, Coach Dawson, and he not only poured into my life, but he poured into so many other boys that were on that basketball team. And though we weren't that good at basketball, he just really encouraged us, and he was more than just that. He just helped us through some very tough times. You know, how many remember high school? How many never want to go back to high school, right? Thank God you don't have to go back to high school. Critical, just terrible time, but he helped navigate that. And I think back at these very critical junctures in which God used these three men at critical times to encourage my faith and sometimes rescue my faith and my confidence in God. And so because of that, I know this for certain, that God uses relationships to impact our faith in him. God uses relationships that impact our faith in him. But how many know, just because relationships, we have positive relationships in our life, the converse is also true. There can be some negative relationships in our life. And how many know, has there been people in your life that undermined your faith? You wanted to grow in your faith, but they became this anchor in your life. And it's, I was just thinking about this the other day. It's fascinating that your greatest and my greatest regrets are tied to relationships. Think about the times where you were getting in trouble. Were you getting in trouble by yourself? There's a good chance no. If you were, then you are a bad seed. I mean, if you're getting in trouble all by yourself, no, we generally get in trouble in groups. We get in trouble. There's not this isolation. You know, if you get in trouble by yourself, you may need to be locked up. But that's a whole different sermon on that. But our greatest regrets are tied to relationships. And this is a message your mother has been preaching to you so long. In fact, you're 35 years old, and she still calls you up and preaches this message to you. Be careful who you hang out with. We know this to be true. And just as if faith grows, God uses people in our life to grow our faith, there's also people, unhealthy relationships, that can undermine our faith. And this is why we should ask this question. This is why this is an important question for us to think about and to ponder about, that how can I, right now, leverage my current relationships to build my faith? You know why this is so important? It's because in many instances, you cannot avoid unhealthy relationships. In some instances, you find yourself in situations where you can't fully avoid it. This is why this has to be on the forefront of every believer in Jesus' mind. This needs to be on the forefront of every Christian's mind. How can you leverage current relationships to build your faith? And this is only heightens the awareness of it because of a culture that we live in. I don't know about you, but do you feel, after spending time in society, in the world, do you feel like your faith is built up? Do you feel hanging around? In fact, if you are done watching the news, do you feel like you go, you know what? I feel so encouraged right now. I feel like I can take on the world. Huh? No. In fact, I hear this a lot. People say, you know, I love coming to church on the weekends because I feel so beat up during the week. And I'm like, and it's true, culture has this gravitational pull, and that gravitational pull isn't necessarily to build your faith, right? It's this concept because you can't really choose who you work with. Some of you wish you could, right? In fact, some of you wouldn't work with anybody if that was the case, right? But sometimes you are forced to work in relationship and have relationships with people at work that are very unhealthy and that aren't building your faith. Sometimes you got to go to school with people that are unhealthy people and kind of tear down the gravitational pull. Sometimes those unhealthy relationships are unavoidable because you don't live in a monastery. They're around. And because that's the case, how much importance should we put on relationships, making sure we leverage current relationships and this providential relationships to see our faith and relationships intersect and allow God to build our faith through the people around us, because unhealthy relationships is really unavoidable. And it's not just culture. I mean, it's easy just to kind of preach on, look how bad society is and all that. But can I tell you, our nature plays a part in this. Have you ever been tempted to be good? Think about that. When's the last time you're like, oh, I'm so honest. Man, I keep being so honest and kind and loving, you know? Our nature, and Paul says this in Romans, there's a sinful nature. There's this warring nature inside of us. So not only do culture plays a part, but our nature plays a role in it. I rarely am tempted to do the right thing. It's normally the tempted to draw away from God. I'm tempted by these other things, the shiny things of this world, and my nature feeds into that. So you have culture has a gravitational pull. You have your nature that has a gravitational pull. How important is it then to have relationships and leverage our current relationships to build our faith? Now, don't take my word for it. Let's look at the scriptures and see some very insightful things that inspired by God, written by Solomon and Paul. We're going to be looking at three scriptures, and we'll see from their perspective how important we should take this idea of these providential relationships and be aware that God uses people to grow our faith. Are you ready? Okay, three people. Awesome. All right, so let's look at Proverbs 13:20. Now, this is a verse, man, if your kids in junior high, they should have this on the wall. I mean, large 3-foot letters, right? It says this, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. I absolutely think this is brilliant writing. This is from Solomon. And Solomon is writing this, and he's not giving us some kind of theory. Solomon is wise because he was very aware, and he looked and he saw how life worked, and he made observations on how life worked, and he saw this time and time again. He saw this. He's like, okay, I see this. People that walk with the wise, guess what? They become wise. But those who hang around fools, they will suffer harm. Just think about this. Walk with the wise and become wise. So this idea that even though, I love this, you may not even be wise. You may sit there and go, Justin, I'm very gullible. I'm naive. I get in trouble a whole lot. And that's okay. That's one thing. But if you surround yourself with a company of wisdom, in a community of wisdom, what does God use in that company of wisdom to build in your life? What does he use? Wisdom. You become wise. The pathway to wisdom, he says, may not be the classroom. The pathway to wisdom is to make sure you have people around you that choose and celebrate wisdom. But the converse is also true. For a companion of fools suffers harm. Now this is, I love this because you may not even be a fool. You may be a wise person, but if you find yourself in a circle of fool, if you find yourself in a circle of fools, run, right? If you find yourself, even though you may be wise, Solomon says, I have seen this time and time again, this guilt by association. You may be a smart, brilliant, destined for great things individual, but if you put yourself in a circle of fools, guess what? The clock is ticking. You will suffer harm. Their drama will be your drama. Can I get an amen from the moms? How many know what I'm talking about? You're like, I know. Preach it, brother. I've been saying that to my kids for 45 years. Still don't listen to me. For a companion of fools suffers harm. So this is this power of the impact of community on our life. Solomon says, make sure you put yourself in a community of wisdom. Then the next verse he talks about, and this is actually 10 verses earlier. He says, where there is strife, there is pride. Isn't that true? When there's a problem, someone's pride, someone's ego is hurt. So that's why someone's mad, right? I mean, where there's strife, there is pride. But wisdom is found in those who take advice. And some of you moms are writing this down going, yeah, this is exactly what I'm going to send to my kids, right? Now, those who take advice. Now, think of this. In society, we have these amazing companies. And when you are a company that get big enough, most of the time you will have a board of directors, right? And the reason for that, there's wisdom in that, because if they're like the bigger the company, the more pressure and responsibility it has on one person, the CEO. And so what do these companies do? They said, we're going to put a board of directors, a company of people around you, 12 individuals or 13, I don't know how many, but we're going to put a people around you because we don't want you to make huge decisions in isolation. Because the decision of this CEO could change a lot of things in the company. So we want to bring accountability to the company. So we want to help you, Mr. CEO or Mrs. CEO. We want you to be surrounded by accountability. We want you to be surrounded so you don't make huge decisions in isolation. This is one of the things I love about this church, is that I may be the lead pastor here, but I don't want to make big decisions in isolation. We have a board of directors. We have a company of men that are able to give me good advice because I may be good at one little thing, but there's a lot that I'm not really good at. I'm not that good. And the awesomest thing, you don't have to be that good as long as you have great people around you. So I thought about this. I was like, it's true for companies. It's true for churches. You need accountability in churches. But it's true for you and for me. Isn't that true? We need a board of directors. Maybe you haven't thought about that. Maybe for you, faith and trust in God and confidence in God has only been this weekend activity. But I believe maybe God wants to just open your mind that we all need a board of directors because you make huge decisions. And can I tell you, I read this somewhere, I don't even know if it's true, but it sounds good, so I'm going to tell you anyway, okay? I heard that you make 80% of the most important decisions in your life before the age of 21. Your life is on a trajectory by the age of 21. So how important is it? If you're under 21, you need a band of people, and you need a band of people around you that are older than you. Can I get an amen from the older crowd? You're like, I'm not going to amen because I'm not old. I'll just reject that right now, Justin. So where there's strife, those who take wisdom is found, and those who take advice, we all need a board of directors. You need a circle of influence. You need a group of people, wise people in your life. Now the last verse, and I found this, is obviously the verse in 1 Corinthians 15:33, written by Paul, but I love Paul. And there's so many reasons I just think he's brilliant, but one of the things is this isn't even Paul's quote. And I always wondered, I was like, why is it, you know, why is it in quotations in the Bible? Paul is using an ancient proverb in the Greco-Roman world, and he takes it, and this is what I love about Christians. We just kind of take things and we're like, yeah, we'll use it. We'll leave the bad and we'll just take it and use it for our good, right? And so he says this, he says, do not be misled. As he quotes a famous Greco-Roman proverb, he says, bad company corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good character. And he says, it's true in that world, and it's going to be true in Christianity. Bad company corrupts good character. I don't care how much you pray. I don't care how much you read the Bible. You surround yourself with bad company. I know they're a fun, great band. Okay, I get it. That was bad. I mean, come on. That was a good joke. Some millennials are like, what does that mean? 1970s, thank you very much. Bad company is a great band, right? Okay. Bad company corrupts good character every time. Every time. So, this is one thing I think we need to learn, and that is this. There are no such things as neutral relationships. Think about that. There are no such things as neutral relationships. That relationship will either enhance and encourage your relationship in God, or it will undermine it. So the question we are left with is this again. How can I leverage current relationships to build my faith? Now I want to give you two keys to community. Two things I think that are important, because if you're sitting there thinking, okay, does this mean, Justin, you're going to introduce a new program in the church? And I'm not. Does this mean we're going to start something new? No, I'm not doing that. I think there needs to be a level of responsibility that each individual Christian needs to take on, and that is you and I need to be responsible for the people we bring into our life. And so there's two things I think are important when we start looking for community, and that's first is intentionality. I think this idea of intentionality is so important. Do you and I put ourselves in environments where we are connecting with people that will grow our faith? Are we putting ourselves in environments? We have amazing programs for that. In fact, the first couple of programs are for ages 18 and younger. Remember what I said? 80% of the decisions, the most important decisions in your life are done before the age of 21. How important is it to learn community and have great relationships before that? That's why each one of these environments are big group environments, but they always then go down to a small group environment because we believe in this. I not only just believe this, I live this. These programs I was a part of growing up in this church. I am a product. You're like, well, that's why I should avoid it. Okay, but hear me out. Results may vary, okay? I get it. But I grew up in these environments, and my faith grew because I made myself available for great relationships. See, the problem is this. Sometimes we're too passive when it comes to allowing our faith to grow. Sometimes we're like, God, if you bring people along, and God's up there in heaven going, I've brought millions of people along, but you're so busy, they're passing you by, and you have to partner with me. Sometimes we have to partner with our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father is dropping people right now. Think of this. Critical people in your life, and are you aware of it? Or are you so busy? We don't have time for these relationships. Man, I don't want you to miss these God-ordained appointments. And this is why my kids don't have a choice. They need to go to these environments. If my daughter comes to me, and she never does this because she loves Revo, if she comes to me and says, "Daddy, I'm really tired," I'm just going to give her coffee and say, "Hey, baby, you got it. Go to Revo." They're going to have to deal with you on a caffeine high, but you're going to go to Revo. I think it's important. My kids are all in these environments because I believe the importance of relationships, and it starts now when they're young. And the thing for adults we have is community groups. Now, I've been preaching this a lot, but I don't just preach community groups. I live it. I am in a community group. Now I want you to let this process. I go to work with amazing people. They're all Christians. Some of you are like, "Are you sure?" Yes. Every single staff person is a Christian. If they're not, So I go to work with people that love Jesus, that are passionate for him. Could you imagine going to work every day and people are encouraging each other and they read the Bible and they pray and they're lifting each other up? I mean, that's an amazing place to work. And even though I work in such an amazing place, I still feel the need to put myself in community. And I'm a pastor. I'm just going to drop the pastor card on that. If the pastor's willing to feel like they need community, feel like they need people in their life to speak into their life, how much more do all of us need community? Now, I'm not asking you to sign up for this. I'm not asking you because we're not even signing people up for community right now. I'm just thinking the groundwork needs to happen in all of our hearts. Do you have environments where you're intentionally putting yourself in where your faith can grow? And the next thing is this, availability. Do you have a voice in someone's life? Maybe you have amazing relationships, and I mean, everything's going great for you, but maybe you need to be a voice in someone's life. Are you available to encourage, just like those men were willing to take time and encourage a young man, a young Justin? Are you willing to take time and encourage maybe someone in your life, and maybe they're not younger than you, maybe they're older than you, but do you have availability for that? Now, if you'll get your little cards out right now, if you don't know where your little card is, you're sitting on it. So, we've been doing these faith challenges time and time again, and this is what I want. We're not having you sign up for anything. I want you to evaluate your circle right now, or this week. This is what we call our faith challenge, is our what we call our bathroom mirror challenge. So stick this on your bathroom mirror. And I want you to think about these three questions. Now, I already did these questions, and then I went on a mud run. Now, I wasn't here last week because I do this thing once a year. I go on this mud run, different mud runs, but I go once a year because mud runs are what middle-aged guys do to prove that they still have it that they did in the 20s, okay? It's our version of a midlife crisis, a lot cheaper of a midlife crisis. And this year, my wife went with me. So I already prepared the sermon and everything beforehand because of everything. So I've already given these questions, and this challenge became so much more real and true when I was at this mud run. And so I was there. My wife got to run this mud run with me, and we did it with another couple. It was a lot of fun. But the point of these mud runs is it's teamwork, right? I mean, you're supposed to do these obstacles that you can't really do by yourself, and you learn to depend on each other. And so there was this one obstacle, and I remember it. It was about a 10-foot wall, and there's some very athletic, gifted people out there, which I'm very jealous of, that they'll just run up and just jump and pull themselves over the wall. And we're like, yeah, I used to be able to do that. But everyone else, most of the people are helping each other over the wall. And so, you know, me and this other couple, we're helping our wives over, you know, and then I'm helping him over the wall, and he's then grabbing, and I'm getting over the wall. And so we're at the top of the wall, and we're about to jump down, and there's this young lady that she's trying to get up on the wall, and she's like, you could tell. She's like, I don't want to do this. And she's just looking at the wall like, no, I'm not going to do this. And her friend or boyfriend couldn't figure out that relationship, but they were there together, obviously. And he was like, here, no, I'll help you. And so he began to help her over the wall, but she just was kind of stuck. Have you ever been in that point? You know, that poster with a cat hanging on the yard, you know what I mean? That's like our Monday, right? And so you're hanging there, and she's just sitting there, and she starts like, no, I'm done. I'll just walk around. I'm not going to do that. And I'm up there, and my pastor gift kicks in, right? I'm going to encourage this young lady to get over this wall. By golly, with God's help, you're going to do this. And so I'm like, look, this is my fifth Tough Mudder. I've done this time and time again. All you have to do is get your leg over, and everything will be great. No, I can't. I'm like, you can do it. Come on, you can do this. And my friend, he speaks up and says, quit being a wimp. Get your leg over. Don't you quit. I looked at him. I'm like, okay, you know what? Come on, honey, you can do this. And then she got her leg over. And she got down, and she's like, thanks, guys. And like, no problem. And we keep going. And it kind of hit me as we're driving 11 hours back home. It kind of hit me. I'm like, there are going to be times in your life and in your faith journey where you hit the wall. And you need two distinct voices in your life. The first voice, you need someone to encourage you. You need a voice like Justin says, you can do it. Get your leg over. You know, it's all you got to do. I've been here before. Just get your leg over. You can get it. But there are also the second voice you need in your life. You need someone in your life to say, suck it up, buttercup, and get up and let's do it. You need that voice in your life. Someone just took notes. Suck it up, buttercup. Heard it here first, right? You need those voices. So here's the question I want you to think about for the next week. Who is encouraging your faith right now? Can you name that person? Who is challenging you? Who's saying, okay, it's time to stop feeling sorry for yourself. I need you to stand up now. Let's go. It's time to go. It's time to move. I know you're going through a tough time, but you need both voices in your life. You need that encouraging voice, and you need that challenging voice. And do you have those voices in your life? Do you have those people in your life? And how often do you meet? It's no good to have these voices in your life if you never meet with these people. So do you have those voices, and how often do you meet? That's your challenge this week. Because if you don't have those voices in your life, I'm here to tell you, you're missing an element where your faith can really grow. Can I get an amen? Let's all stand up to our feet and let me pray for us as we dismiss. Make sure you take the card home with you, and if someone leaves and they forgot their card, make sure you run it to them so they don't leave it behind. Let us pray. Father, wow, we love you so much. God, we thank you that we can be a community of faith that are here, and we understand the value of people sitting in these rows and hearing practical teaching. That's a great thing. That's what we all need in our life. But Lord, we are missing something. If we don't have that voice of encouragement, if we don't have that voice of challenge that's in our life, and God, no one can do this for us. God, you can bring the people around us, but unless we take the responsibility, Lord, it won't happen. So I pray that we will have the courage to step out and see that you have placed encouraging voices and challenging voices. And do we have the guts? Do we have the courage to start being utilizing these relationships and leveraging those relationships so our faith can grow? I pray, Lord, that we will awaken to this amazing point. And I pray that you'll do a deep work in all of our hearts. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. And we'll see you next week for part 3.